Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Galactic Club. This is Weather Warfare in the 21st Century, Part 2 with Rick Duarte. And today, Rick from Weather Wars International will be covering man-made earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, and hurricanes. As far-fetched and unbelievable as it may seem to most people, man does have the knowledge, the capability, and the technology of creating and controlling every weather event Mother Nature has ever produced. Among knowledgeable investigative researchers, there are four principal countries that have and use weather warfare technology. First and foremost is the United States, as it holds the vast majority of patents related to controlling weather. The three other countries are Israel, China, and Russia. Rick will reveal quite a few weather warfare secrets during the course of this show, so you'll want to keep a pen and pad of paper by your side. And here's Rick.
Good introduction there, Henry. Thank you very much. And Kelsey, thank you very much. Thank you both for having me on again tonight. That was real nice. So the introduction pretty much says it all of what we'll be covering here tonight. I'll cover more of the specifics during the course of the next 45 to 60 minutes or so. And then at the end, I'm going to give you a little summary, give you some additional information, which you can research on your own. That would be beneficial. So don't believe what I say. You don't have to. What's true for you is true for you. But let your thoughts and your beliefs be based upon facts, the actual evidence. Don't rely on what other people have told you. Don't rely on what you've read in textbooks. And definitely don't rely on what you've read or seen in the media, like television and newspapers and magazines and radio. Do your own research. Everything I'm telling you is bona fide, and it's documented. So we'll move right along. We'll get into earthquakes and tsunamis as the first topic. Now, what I'm going to do is preface this segment of the show regarding earthquakes and tsunamis by having you check out Alana Freeland's book, best-selling book that came out in 2014, which is called Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. Now, I was given that book free of charge by Farrell House. They were the publishing company for Alana's book for a book review. I read that book from cover to cover. I took a lot of notes. I tagged a lot of pages. And much of what I'm going to cover here tonight is covered in her book and documented. So I'm not bringing up anything that's what you want to call fictitious. This is not science fiction. This is reality. And we'll move along from there. Now, with regards to Alana Freeland's book, which you can purchase still in paperback, I think it runs you about $20. There's a gentleman who since passed away. His name was Dr. Bernard Eastlund, E-A-S-L-U-N-D. Now, he worked for ARCO, which is the Atlantic Richfield Oil Corporation, and he was hired to, as an engineer, if you will, to discover new oil reserves across the planet. So he developed a technology where he was able to send sound waves for certain frequencies into the Earth and have it reflect back, much like a radar. And in looking at the pictures of what they showed, you know, 6, 7, 8 miles deep, they determined that at certain frequencies, there were certain elements that were down in the layers underneath the Earth. And one of the most significant ones was oil. Oil gave off a certain picture. So When he found those things out, he shared that with ARCO, and ARCO started drilling, and sure enough, they'd always tap into oil. So that has a little bit to do with earthquakes. Now, how can this be with tied into earthquake oil exploration? Well, the thing is, if you set off a certain frequency, you will cause a certain reaction within the Earth's crust. Now, given the magnitude of that frequency, if it's high enough, you can actually cause an earthquake, which did happen. And it came as a surprise, not only Dr. Eastland, but the scientists around the world as well, too. I believe one of the first few times that he worked with this new technology that he developed, he actually produced an earthquake that registered 5.6 on the Richter scale. So you can see right from there, there's something to be said for that. And, of course, when the military gets a hold of that information, well, of course, they're not too much into oil exploration as they are using it as a weapon, which they ended up doing. In addition, I have to say that Bernard Eastland also developed HARP, the High Auroral Active Research Program, which was located in Gakon, Alaska. This thing not only produces, which was a high electricity or wattage electricity that affects the atmosphere, but if it's directed off the bounces off the ionosphere, which is the outer layer of our atmosphere here on Earth, and comes down at a specific point, it can actually cause an earthquake as well, too. And I'll cover that a little bit more and elaborate on it a little further in this show. Bernard Eastland was no slouch. He holds 23 U.S. patents based upon his technology. So the guy knows what he's doing. Now, the next thing I want to draw your attention to, and you can find all this on, if you Google this information, you can find it, you know, on Google. So the next thing I want to draw your attention to is a document. It's called Owning the Weather in 2025. This is produced by the United States Air Force, and the title should be self-sufficient in explaining what their aims and goals are. Owning the Weather in 2025. Now I'm going to cover some specifics with regards to earthquakes and tsunamis. Now, this is by no means comprehensive, but I will give you the highlights of earthquakes and tsunamis that were actually created by man. And like I said, this is all documented. Your reference point, again, is Alana Freeland's book, Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum of Dominance. Now, the first, what you would call major earthquake and tsunami, took place in 2004, December 26, 2004. And many of us, I know I do, and many across the world remember this. It happened in Sumatra, Indonesia, on December 26, 2004, which is known as Boxer Day, for those who are down under. A magnitude 9.3 earthquake struck, and then afterwards, we had it was followed up by a tsunami. Now, the tsunami reached 10 meters in height, which in feet is about 30 feet or so, and it literally destroyed probably, I'd say, between 70 and 80% of Sumatra. That actually changed the landscape as well, too. Now, in the course of that earthquake and the resulting tsunami that spread out not only in Indonesia, but spread across the Pacific Ocean, it also affected countries in Asia as well as in Africa. So the total death toll out of that, and this is estimated, and it's probably very conservative, the total death toll from that earthquake and tsunami, the main one being the tsunami, was 230,000 people. That's kind of hard to digest. A man-made earthquake and tsunami would kill that much people, but that's exactly what happened. Now, we followed that up in 2018, actually on May 12th, I'm sorry, 2008. May 12th, 2008, there was a earthquake, and I forgot to, it was a magnitude 8.0 earthquake that hit Sichuan, China. That was also a HARP man-made earthquake. Now, that killed over 90,000 people in China. Then we move along a couple of years, actually about a year and a half, and go to 2010. January 12, 2010, Haiti, which is an island in the Caribbean, was hit by a magnitude 7.0. Now, that doesn't seem too bad compared to Sumatra with a 9.3 and Sichuan, China with an 8.0. But I want you to keep this in mind, that when a magnitude 7.0 hit Haiti in 2007, it did a lot of damage there because the vast majority of people in Haiti are living in really squalor conditions. Their homes are not earthquake-proof, to say the least, nor hurricane-proof, as a matter of fact. So a lot of these buildings just totally collapsed. They crumbled. And during the course of that earthquake, over 500,000 people died in Haiti alone. 500,000. It's mind-blowing what comes out of this. Now, there's some politics behind that. If you remember, we had a president here in the United States by the name of Bill Clinton. Well, he and his wife Hillary teamed together with the Red Cross Foundation and basically pillaged and plundered Red Cross for all the money that was donated from across the world. And that's another story in itself. Perhaps we'll cover in another show here in the future. So Haiti with the 7.0, the care of 500,000 people. Now, this one, Henry, I think you'll have some interest in, since you're down there. You were down there in that vicinity, I would assume. Christchurch, New Zealand. Were you there?
No, I was in the North Island at the time, but it was definitely a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Christchurch, New Zealand. February 22nd, 2011. That was a magnitude 6.3 and it killed 185 people. Well, that was done totally on purpose. Now, when I say totally on purpose, what do I mean there? Well, if you go back to Lana's, which is chemtrail tarp and the full spectrum dominator, Lana covers that in great detail. We had a delegation of American politicians that went down there and made some proposals to New Zealand that they should follow. Well, the New Zealand government said, no way, Jose, we're not going to follow that. And I said, well, okay, we have a solution, and we'll let you know what our response is shortly. Well, that delegation got on a plane, and 2 hours later, Christchurch was hit with that magnitude 6.3 that killed 185 people and did quite a bit of damage down there as well, too. Now, the last one I'll cover is the one that really, 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 really hits home with a lot of people. It was the last major earthquake and tsunami that hit this planet. It was on March 11th, 2011. It is known as Japan's 9/11 because it happened on 3/11/2011. Now, this is not, a lot of people refer to this earthquake as the Fukushima earthquake. but I'm going to clear things up. It was known as the Tohoku, T-O-H-O-K-U, Japan earthquake of 2011. Now, what had happened there is that the earthquake struck. It was a 9.0 earthquake. Now, there was a resulting tsunami that Japan, even though they have an early warning system for earthquakes as well as tsunamis, they never knew what happened. They were caught off guard. The tsunami came in, and it wiped out at least 20,000 people. Okay? And HAARP was behind that as well, too. In fact, they called, Lana calls it priming the pump. About a day before, they used HAARP to fracture an area some 90 miles off the coast of Japan. Now, when you fracture a fault zone, you open it up, and it makes it a lot easier to produce a greater effect on the next earthquake and resulting tsunami that follows afterwards, and that's exactly what they did. So they hit this this earthquake fracture with a 4.6 the day before. Then they came back the day after and hit them with a 9.0. And like I said, 20,000 people dead. Now, as I mentioned, and I'll keep on, it sounds redundant, I'm being repetitive, but this is important that you all get this. If you want to go to one source to get all this information, if you're not already a member of Weather Wars International, I strongly suggest you ask to join. We'll be more than happy to approve you. Go on the website. You can scroll through the most recent events that have happened across the world with regards to different types of weather warfare. But when you go on the website, you can click on, at the top of the left-hand top of the page, you can click on pictures. After you click on pictures, click on albums. And then you can scroll through whatever album that you want to review or seek out, and that information is in there. Now, the other night, I took a count. I actually have over 110 different albums on there. I was actually surprised I had that many. And that's just in the span of a little over 2 years. I've dedicated albums to certain events that have taken place across the world. But if you go to a couple of them in particular, like three volumes on Weather Wars International videos, and I also have another, which is called two albums on Weather War articles. So all that information that I'm giving you here tonight is documented there. So there's your one-stop shop for all this information. So, with that being said, we'll move along to tornadoes. Now, before we get into the specifics of that, what I'd like to bring up is this. I told you in Harry's introduction into the show, you know, man has the capability and the technology to produce whatever weather war event he wants to anywhere in the world at any given time. Now, to solidify that and to wipe out any doubt from the skeptics that may be listening to the show, I want to refer you to a U.S. patent. It's called Hurricane and Tornado Control Device. It's U.S. patent 2003-2003-0085-296A-1. Once again, that's U.S. patent 2003 00852968A, like the letter A in Apple, -1, Hurricane and Tornado Control Device. Well, who holds that patent? Of course, the United States. Do they use it? Of course they do. They use it in the hurricanes. They use it in tornadoes. And tornadoes is the next subject here. Now, in the United States, excuse me one second. In the United States, is the most tornado-prone country anywhere in the world, just because of its geographic position and because of its terrain. Now, in the United States, on the average, there's somewhere around 1,300 tornadoes every single year. And the majority of those tornadoes take place in what's called Tornado Alley, which is the central part of the United States. And I think it covers something like six or seven states, from Illinois, Nebraska area, all the way down to, let's say, the northern portion of Texas. Now, that's what I would call, in the past, prior to man-made tornadoes, in the past, that were produced by Mother Nature, tornadoes principally, and I'd probably say probably about a good 90% of them, happen in the central part of the United States. That's what you would call normal tornado activity. Now, and that usually happens in the spring, early summer of every year. Now, that's not to say tornadoes didn't happen other parts of the years. The main ones came during, like I said, during the spring and the transition from spring into summer. Now, there have been tornadoes that have taken place with a lot of rarity during the fall months and during the winter months. But here as of late, and this has happened, I'd say probably in the past 5 to 6 years from what I've been able to gather, that not only is there a tornado alley in the central United States, but there's now a new tornado alley, and that's in the southeast of the United States, which is the states principally along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. So we're talking about virtually all of Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, and the northern tip of Florida, and even into Georgia and Tennessee. So that's become more and more prevalent. As an example, what abnormal tornado activity would be during the winter, and this just happened a few weeks ago, in the central north portion of the United States, a state by the name of Illinois, which I used to live in, just outside of Chicago when I was a young kid. A few weeks ago, they had 22 tornadoes in just one day. That's unprecedented. That is an outbreak. So the conditions were not right. You didn't have warm, moisture air, and you didn't have cold air, beneath it. Yet, they were able to produce 22 tornadoes. Did a lot of damage, and I think it only killed one or two people. Thank goodness for that. But that's in the month of December we're talking about, a tornado outbreak. Extremely unusual. Now, and going back to Alana Freeland's book on Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance in Earth, there's two tornadoes which are documented as being Harp influenced. Now, there's other technology that goes along with that. I'm not going to get into that. It's covered in videos and articles and in their book. But the two that I'm going to refer you to, one took place in 2011 and the other took place in 2013. Now, in 2011, May 22nd, an EF5, which is the strongest tornado one possibly can have, an EF5 tornado hit Joplin, Missouri. Now, in the course of that, the winds were in excess of 200 miles per hour. It left 158 dead and did over $2.8 billion in damages. The town was wiped off the face of the earth. Now, going into 2013, we have another EF5 tornado hitting Moore, Oklahoma. Now, in the United States, Moore, Oklahoma is known as the tornado capital of the United States. They get hit with more tornadoes than anybody else. And it's back-to-back-to-back tornadoes, and very strong tornadoes. Yes, they're in a geographic region, which is conducive to that sort of thing, but it's become more prevalent in the past, I'd say, 20 years. So on May 29th, 2013, Moore, Oklahoma was devastated again with an EF5 tornado with winds registering in excess of 210 miles an hour, left 24 dead, and created $2 billion in damages. So you can see here, this is a rather frightening scenario. This is like, it seems almost unbelievable, especially to the newcomers to this information. You know, it's like, well, why would somebody want to do that? I can't imagine there's enough people who would come together and do this sort of thing and inflict so much damage and kill so many people. Well, I'll cover that in the here in a few minutes when I summarize what's going on here. I'll tell you exactly why. Okay, moving on to hurricanes. Now, in the first episode that we did here last week, I prefaced everything by Hurricane King, which took place in 1947, that created a lot of damage in Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. Now, even though that took place in 1947, that was the first time that the U.S. government and the military actually doctored or played with a hurricane, which caused, at that time, and that money was something like $3.3 million in damages. Hurricane King was also known as the Cape Sable Hurricane. Now, in today's money, that $3.3 million worth of damages done back then is the equivalent of $38 million in damages today. Moving right along, we're going to come up to 1989. Now, the reason that's significant, 1989, Billy Hayes was an engineer who helped build, several heart facilities across the planet. Now, in a conversation with him, I asked him the question, when did the U.S. military finally become successful at controlling hurricanes? And he said it was 1989 with Hurricane Hugo. And I said, I got it. So in that Hurricane Hugo, which hit North and South Carolina in the United States, it did $9.5 billion in damages, left 61 dead, and that's frightening. Every subsequent hurricane thereafter, you can better believe that hit the United States, you can best believe was influenced one way or the other by the military and the hurricane control device, or devices, as the case may be. Again, I refer you back to the U.S. patent. It's there, and it's being utilized. They know how to do that. Now we move into the 21st century. Excuse me one second here. Now, in the 21st century, things really begin to ramp up. The U.S. military, U.S. government is pounding their chest, patting themselves on the back. They're doing a good job, and they're going to get even better. Technology improves. And in August of 2005, they unleashed a Category 5 hurricane known as Katrina, which a lot of people are familiar with. It hit the Gulf states of the United States, near the Gulf of Mexico. Primarily, it hit Texas and Louisiana. It created $125 billion worth of damages and left over 1,800 people dead. And that's an estimated number as well, too. Now, what makes this Katrina significant is for a number of reasons. Well, why would they unleash a Category 5 Katrina and kill 1,800 people in Texas and Louisiana? Well, let me give you a little background. In Louisiana, one of the areas that was hardest struck and where the most people died, especially in the New Orleans area, just outside of New Orleans, but this is, if you will, the New Orleans proper, there's an area known as the Ninth Ward, the number 9th, Ninth Ward. Now, in that area of the greater New Orleans area, oil companies have found vast oil reserves. And if you know anything about oil companies, they tend to be very greedy individuals. They have absolutely no scruples. So the best way to get rid of a population is to eliminate them, destroy the property, and basically take a land grab out of that area and go in and start drilling for oil. And that's exactly what they've been doing ever since. Now, moving off from Hurricane Katrina in 2005, there was a Category 2 hurricane. Not as big as a hurricane as Katrina, but it's Category 2. This is also very significant as well, too. It's called Hurricane Sandy. Now, this happened on October 2012 and hit the areas of New Jersey and New York. There's a few other states just north of that got hit as well, too. But Hurricane Sandy, the brunt was taken by New Jersey and New York. Now, that did $69 billion worth of damages, left 233 dead. And what is probably most significant, well, there's a couple things that were significant about this. This hurricane was absolutely massive. When I say massive, if you looked at on the satellite, the diameter of Hurricane Sandy was 900 miles in diameter. And that would mean, and you'll probably understand this a little bit better, Henry, is that it was 1,400 kilometers in diameter. That gives you the scope of it. Now, the size of that, to give you a picture, if you were to put that hurricane, Sandy, on top of the United States, the north point from New York City would reach all the way down to Miami. Okay, that's north to south. Now, from east to west, you take it from the east coast of the United States, let's say around Maryland or Virginia, and it would stretch all the way over to the Mississippi River. That means it covers, 900 miles. That hurricane was large enough to literally blot out one-third of the United States. That's how huge it was. And to the best of my knowledge, and the meteorologists who reported on it, it's the largest size hurricane that they ever witnessed or recorded in history. Now, the one thing I'd like to bring up in regards to Hurricane Sandy, this is a very unusual hurricane. Now, here in the United States, when they get with hurricanes, whether they come up into the Gulf of Mexico or whether they come up the east coast of the United States, they have a certain trajectory. And that trajectory is usually in the form of the letter C, like in cap, which means they'll come in, they'll sort of glance out, at land. They might come inland a little bit, but eventually what will happen is they'll curve out in the letter C at the top and head out to the northern portion of the Atlantic Ocean. Well, what was unusual about Hurricane Sandy is that when it got up to the around the New York, New Jersey area, it was headed out to the North Atlantic. Well, in one day's time, it decided to change its mind. It did a U-turn, like the letter P, like in Paul. It did a U-turn and came back and directly hit New York and New Jersey. Hurricanes don't do that. They simply don't do that. They never will, unless man has the knowledge, capability, and technology to make that happen. Today, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with 6 years later. There's people in there who can't rebuild anymore. Basically, the land has been condemned. That's how much pollution and destruction that took place in that area. After Hurricane Sandy in 2015, October 2015, we had Hurricane Patricia. That was Category 5 hurricane. Now, a lot of people didn't hear about this one. This one only lasted a couple days. And this Category 5 Hurricane Patricia formed off the west coast of Mexico. It's like Category 5 hurricanes do not form off the coast of Mexico. I'm sorry. They form out in the Pacific Ocean, not that damn close to the continent. Nonetheless, what had happened was, yeah, it did a little bit of damage to Mexico, but even more remarkable is they actually channeled that hurricane and all its rain across all of Mexico and moved it into Texas. And in Texas, it did over $460 million worth of damage. Most of it was flood damage. And you can actually, oh my God, if you could have seen the, not only the videos, but the meteorological videos as well, too. Hurricanes don't behave like that. It was astounding how much precision has been going on with the direction and steering of hurricanes. Now, we're close to wrapping up here on hurricanes. Hurricane Harvey, Category 4, August 2015. Here's another anomaly. This thing produced 60 inches of rain, caused over $125 billion worth of damages across Texas, specifically in the Houston, Texas area. Now, hurricanes, whether they hit the east coast of the United States or go up the Gulf of Mexico, and the Gulf of Mexico is where Houston, Texas got hit, hurricanes, they come ashore, they do the damage, and they keep on moving on in the letter C type of direction. Well, what was different about Hurricane Harvey versus all the other hurricanes that I mentioned before, this hurricane literally parked itself, and I do use that word parked itself, over Houston, Texas for 3 days. Absolutely. Hurricanes don't park themselves. They don't. They never will unless man is influencing, and that's exactly what they did. Now, in order to make that hurricane stationary over Houston, Texas, Doppler or NEXRAD radars, if you will, positioned a high-pressure system to the northwest of Houston, Texas, and they put another high-pressure system to the southeast of Houston, Texas. Now, when you set up two high-pressure systems like that, you basically corral a hurricane, and you can keep it absolutely stationary. And that's exactly what they did. So for 3 days and three nights, it poured and it poured and it poured, over 60 inches worth of rain. And it just, like, it devastated all of Houston, Texas. And the rain's not over. I mean, Houston, Texas is still getting nailed. You know, the torrential rains, they just went through some high winds and tornadoes just in the past couple of days. So, you know, Houston, Texas is a big deal. So why is Houston, Texas a big deal? Well, just like Louisiana, the New Orleans area, they have vast oil reserves underneath that state, underneath that city in that state. So what does big oil want? They want the oil. So what they're willing to do is kill a few thousand people, create a lot of damage, go on there and buy the property at pennies on the dollar, do the oil exploration and confiscation, and make a profit off of them. Okay, so that takes care of Hurricane Harvey. The last one I'm going to cover is a Cat 4 hurricane that hit just this year, September of 2018. Hurricane Florence, it hit North and South Carolina. That was $13.8 billion for the damages there. Now, hold on 1 second here. So that much pretty much covers the subject matter of the show, if you will. I've given you the information. It's all documented. You don't believe me? Check out the sources, okay, which is totally fine. But do it before you disagree with me. Now, in summation here, it's like, so why would people want to do this sort of thing? Well, in the first show, I covered Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is to basically depopulate people on this planet. Now, it not only means to exterminate them, but it also means to relocate them. The whole idea is get them away from remote areas, move them inland and into the bigger cities where they can build smart cities. Sort of a stack and pack type of environment. So people will actually be corralled in a specific area. And when they're corralled in a specific area, just like cattle, they're a lot more easier to control. And that's when they're. Now, aside from Agenda 21, we have what's called disaster capitalism. Now, this is new to a lot of people. Disaster capitalism is a Wall Street term because disaster capitalism means people make money off of natural disasters that take place. Give you, for instance, there's some legitimate things that are behind this, but there's some nefarious things as well behind it as well. Now, certain farmers who grow different types of crops, like cotton and corn, soybean, well, they want to ensure that when it comes to harvest, that they get as much of the harvest as absolutely they can. Now, what they do, they take out what's called an insurance policy. And in this insurance policy, they pay, let's say, a couple thousand dollars for it. And they say, well, in the next 6 months, if my crops are damaged by some sort of quote-unquote Mother Nature weather event, you'll insure my crops for the loss that I suffer. So if you have a couple thousand acres, and let's say your crop damage was, let's say, about $1 million, and you paid $2,000 for it, well, guess what? you get paid the $1 million. It doesn't happen. Now, if you didn't suffer any crop damage during the course of that, of course, all you did was pay for the insurance. So you're out $2,000. No big deal. That's part of doing business. But now, if you're a Wall Street insider, you can make a ton of money by knowing what's coming next. And when I say that, because the boys who are making a lot of money on Wall Street with disaster capitalism know what's going to happen. So they're just like playing Las Vegas on Wall Street. They'll go ahead and buy these insurance policies, or they'll insure these individuals against catastrophic crop loss, and they'll make money off of doing it, okay? So, you know, like I said, it might insure them for, let's say, 6 months. Nothing happens. In the seventh month, guess what happens? Boom! They're hit with, a major tornado, or they're hit with torrential rain. They're wiped out. They're out of business. Now, from there, why else would we use this type of technology of doing hurricanes, tsunamis, tornadoes, and earthquakes? Well, the other reason would be it's called retribution or punishment. For instance, like in the Philippines, as was the case in Christchurch with the earthquake, excuse me, retribution or punishment. The Philippines is a fine example. There's a president down there by the name of Rodrigo Duterte. Now, he decided on his own that GMOs, genetically modified plants, were not going to be put in his country. He wanted nothing to do with that. And he wanted to eliminate all ties with the United States, who is basically strong-arming the Philippines to follow their policies. And one of the fatal mistakes he made was not only severing ties with the United States, but he made an alliance with China. China was going to actually help them out and taking care of their country for them. Well, what had ended up happening there is the Philippines was hit with 8 major cyclones in a 13-month period of time. 3 of those cyclones took place within 3 months in 2017. That's unprecedented. One location on this planet, you know, hit with 8 major cyclones or hurricanes? I don't think so. In addition to those 8 major cyclones, they were hit with 4 major earthquakes in 2018, and then they had a 7-day period of time, I believe this is also in 2018, where they literally had monsoon rains. It was nonstop, 24 hours a day of monsoonal rains. I mean, if you wanted to take out a country, that's the best way to do it. Create weather warfare. What the hell? You can do more damage with the weather than you can do with conventional bombs, including, you know, the atomic bomb. Now, Henry and Kelsey, if you will, I got to take about a 2-minute break here. Mother Nature calls on my behalf, so I want you to do a little talk in between that, and I'll let you know when I get back, and we'll wrap this up with a summary of this show, okay?
Thank you so much, Mr. Rick.
I'm sorry?
I said thank you so much.
Okay, I'll be right back. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll cover the air while you're out.
Okay, good show. Continue.
We've had a really fun show so far, and our guest is going to be back very soon to share with you more about what is taking place on your planet Earth. So the real reason we're all here and we're listening and we're doing this show is because there are 3 main survival facts and actually realities on your planet Earth, on our planet Earth, and that is the food, the air, and the water. and to survive here, we need these things pure and clean, and to get a real education and to learn and become more aware while we're here. So exactly what our guest has been talking about today, what the world controllers and what people are unconsciously agreeing to is inhibiting ourselves and our children, especially in learning and getting a real education, becoming more aware, understanding the natural environment and actually what supports all of us, to where basically the weather is totally manipulated and the earth is no longer having its own say and the natural cycles are being totally disturbed. We're having bees that are affected by the microwaves, by this harp, animals displaced by this weather warfare and people as well. And it's not necessary. We don't need it. If we wanted to use any kind of technology, it could be for a benefit. It could be like the technologies that Tesla shared with everyone. So we can do things of a benefit, and we can share something wonderful, like the wonderful flowers that grow and the trees and the bees that provide us with fruit. And to teach our children this instead of all of the sci-fi tech that is actually ruining our planet, just like the GMOs. These are altering people's DNAs, making it harder for them to just live an everyday life and to communicate with others what they are seeing and experiencing and sharing, because that's what we're all here to do, is to share with each other. So that's why we're doing this show, and we have a wonderful guest that has taken the time to actually pay attention, study, document, and discover what is taking place here. So my name is Kelsey Lynn Brown. We have this recording and the previous one on YouTube. Looks like we might be having another show here with our guests, which is great. And it's Kelsey Lynn Brown. You can find the video will be on my YouTube channel. And this is on our Blog Talk Radio channel, Kelsey Lynn Brown. We're all on Facebook, Henry Draper here with me. We have a few callers on the line as well, a new homeschool mother, where we're actually sharing with the children and listening to the children about what is taking place on the planet and what they see and their experiences, their dreams, and things that are actually wonderful when we look at this dark world compared to that. So we really appreciate the children and listening to the children. And I suggest for the parents that are listening to listen to your children and to listen to the other mothers that are giving you warnings and sharing their experiences, because they really do care. Otherwise, why would they be doing it? So it's all about what makes sense here, and that's what we're here to do. We're a part of Wonderful Worldwide Educators. You can see more about what Wonderful Worldwide Educators is doing on our website, wonderfulworldwideeducators.com. You can look at all the different Facebook groups where we're letting people know what's taking place and what we can do about it. We can do something while we're here that does make sense, instead of continuously agreeing to the demise and the distorted history and the distorted educations that we have been indoctrinated and actually brainwashed with in schools. So I just want to open it back up and see, did you want to say something, or Henry Draper?
Well, yeah, it's just been really fun listening to you, Rick. You've got a whole lot to share, and we'll share this video around lots, and others can have the opportunity to wake up and see what's taking place and make better choices, because realistically, you know, we're all free beings of real light, and we don't have to be subjected and subdued to what's going on here. We don't have to agree to it. We can still operate on this planet and become more aware all the time without having to be the effect of everything that's taking place here. So yeah, we have a whole lot to share, and you can check out our previous interview with Rick. We'll have another one this time next week, and there's lots more on Kelsey's YouTube channel for people to check out. And yeah, did you want to wrap up the show here, Rick? Or have you a few more things to share, and then we can open up the lines. We have a couple of callers on.
Yeah, I was listening to your conversations there. Yeah, I've been back for a couple minutes. I'd be more than happy to take any questions or comments. But what I'd like to first do is just give you a summation and give you some give your audience some references to go by. Now, I don't expect you to write as fast as what I'm going to communicate here, but you can always play back this show and take the notes accordingly. In summation, get a copy of Alana Freeland's best-selling book, Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Earth. If you can't do that for some reason, that's fine. You can find videos online that she's done under the same titles. Another source of information is Dr. Nick Begich. He has a video out there. It's called Angels Don't Play This Harp, H-A-A-R-P. It's called Angels Don't Play This Harp and Tesla Technology. Another video that I want to draw your attention to is Dr. Ben Livingston, the father of weaponized weather. He specifically said and stated, and he would know because he's the one who was the father of weaponized weather. Hurricane control has been the number one priority of the U.S. government since 1947. Okay? Now, in regards to earthquakes, now earthquakes, I'm not saying all earthquakes are man-made. You know, in any given year, there's between 12,000 and 14,000 earthquakes that take place across the planet. And these are earthquakes of magnitude 2.0 or above. Now, there's probably literally, you know, another several thousand that are under 2.0 that are not recorded. Okay? But two I want you to draw your attention to that could produce, these earthquakes could produce a tsunami, it would be called a mega tsunami of biblical proportions. Check out the Canary Islands. There's an island out there. That island slips any further and goes into the Atlantic Ocean, it's going to wipe out the east coast of the United States. The next is what's called the Cascadia Subduction Zone. This is like a fault zone off the west coast of the United States. It covers itself from the state of Washington. Actually, it starts a little further than that. It starts up in British Columbia, Canada, works its way down into Washington State, Oregon State, and down into California. Now, if this sucker goes, and they did, I think it was the Discovery Channel or the History Channel did a special on this, and a lot of articles have been written about this. But if this one versus the San Andreas Fault, if the Cascadia subduction goes, I'll tell you what, it's not only going to, earthquake-wise, create a lot of devastation across that that entire region, but the tsunami would be definitely biblical. They're projecting that if it does go, we're talking about a tsunami wave of over 100 feet high. And I don't know what that translates into meters, but Henry, you probably can imagine what's that, maybe 150 meters high. That is huge. You know, in terms of stories of buildings, that'd be the equivalent of a 10-story building. And I think we can all relate to that. Now, I had mentioned Dr. Bernard Eastland before. Look him up. There's articles and information on that, on him. There's a video I'll recommend. It's called Atmospheric Microwave Heaters. Bernard Eastland, interview of 2001. He discusses HARP in there. Also reference owning the U.S. Air Force's Owning the Weather in 2025. There's videos on that, and there's actually a 52-page document that's available to you on PDF, so you have the source of that. And The Discovery Channel did a video on that subject as well, too, on the weather in 2025. Now, with regards to disaster capitalism, I recommend you go check out this article. It's called Geoengineering for Financial Gain, A History of Weather Derivatives. It's by Peter Kirby. It's a great article. The next is, it's called Our Coming Environmental Disaster, Geoengineering and Weather Warfare. This is a great video done by James Corbett. Another article would be Disaster Capitalism, Making Money Off of People's Misfortune. It was an article I wrote on December 23rd, 2017. You can find that on Weather Wars International. It's a compilation of not only articles, but also videos incorporated there as well, too, which substantiated the article that I wrote. Now, here we're getting to the close to the end of this. Again, to get all this information, go to one source, go to Weather Wars International, ask to become a member, and then just check all that information out that I presented here, and even more. You click on pictures, you go to albums, click on that, and then you can resource any of the 110 different albums that I have there. If you wanted to find out something about, let's say, hurricanes, an example, you can go under one of my video areas, click on the picture, and it'll give you any one of the pictures with regards to hurricanes. Click that on, and it'll not only give you videos, but it'll give you articles that relate to hurricanes in general. Now, in wrapping this up, prior to answering any questions people may have or addressing any comments people have, my final words are this. You don't have to believe a damn thing that anything that I've told you here tonight. You really don't. But please, do your own research. You need to find out what's true for you. All I'm trying to do is open the door for your mind, but it's you, only you, that can walk through that door. You're the one who has to walk through it. So, we're all in this boat together, folks. We need to gather together and make this world a better place than what we found it. With that, that wraps up what I've got to say. I'd be more than willing to answer anybody's questions or address anybody's comments, Henry and Kelsey.
Wonderful. Thanks again, Rick. We've got a couple of callers here. We can open the lines. Did you want to share anything or ask any questions to Rick, Eric?
Yeah, hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay, fantastic. A quick question. I'm pretty sure you went over this before, maybe in the last call that we did, but what are some of the other installations around the world that these individuals are using to manipulate the weather? Because we know about HARP, but for maybe some of our international listeners, what are some of the other ones?
Okay, so okay, I got that part about HARP as far as influencing the weather. Are you asking, is there other technology that influences the weather as well, too? Yes, okay. Here in the United States, as well as across the world, there's Doppler radar, which is also known as NEXFAD radars, that influence the weather as well, too. Now, here in the United States, there's some 100, at last count, there was nearly 100 NEXFAD Doppler facilities in the United States. Worldwide, there's, I think, at last count, there was something like 2,000 worldwide as well, too. Now, what NEXFAD or the Doppler radars do, if you pay attention to the news, the meteorologist on the mainstream media news will tell you that's where they get their information from. on how the weather is going. Now, there's also a dual purpose in reporting back to meteorologists. Now, when you have a computer program like the U.S. military does, you actually can control what these NEXRAD Doppler radars actually do. And what they can actually do, they can be turned on or off, become active or inactive, and they can actually control a certain weather pattern. For instance, like if it's rain. Now, if they take up some moisture out of the Pacific Ocean and they want to channel it up, let's say, from Texas and run it through the central part of the United States and dump it over into Maryland, well, yeah, they can actually channel that. It's just like a, what do you want to say? It's like a riverbank channeling water. That's how these NEXRAD and Dopplers work. So they release certain frequencies, and when they do that, the storm or the weather system will move accordingly. And I brought this up in the first show last week, which was the case with the once-in-a-thousand-year flood that hit Ellicott City in Maryland in 2016. That's exactly what they did. I think it dumped something like 8 inches of rain in a span of about 90 minutes. Now, this once-in-a-thousand-year event happened again two years later in 2018, and they dumped 6 inches of rain in the matter of 2 hours. So that's how NEXRAD Doppler influences weather. Now, with regards to HARP, I need to clarify this as well, too. The original HARP was located up in Gakona, Alaska. Now, since then, like I've mentioned before, technology has improved. These HARP-like operations, which are known as ionospheric heaters, are not only land-based, like the one in Gakona, Alaska, but they're much smaller as well, too. And they're still land-based. They're much smaller in proportion. They're not only land-based, they're sea-based. They're air-based, which means they can be run out of airplanes. And they are also space-based and water-based as well, too, which means they can be kept out to sea. And, believe it or not, they've miniaturized this thing right down to a gun that can do this sort of thing at in short distances as well, too. So those are some of the other, technological facilities that influences weather as well, too. I hope I answered your question for you. Do you need any clarification on that or have additional questions?
No, that was great. Thank you.
Okay, good. Great. Thank you for your question. I appreciate that.
Okay, and did you have anything you wanted to add there, Sandy, before we end the show?
No, it was just an excellent show. I think everybody should listen to this for sure. A lot of information about what's happening to our planet and how they take control of the weather, et cetera, and what people think of as natural, it really isn't. So
exactly. Everybody
should listen to this.
Yeah, that's very true. Now here, I'm gonna make a plug for our next show. Henry and I will set that up later on, probably tomorrow or the next day. But the next show is going to probably be the most watched so on YouTube in a very, very long time. And what we're going to do is, what I'm going to do is produce a mind-blowing episode on directed energy weapons. And these are the directed energy weapons that not only create fires, but can be able to attack nations across the United States. So I'll leave you with that, and we'll get prepared for show number three. Henry and Kelsey, I want to thank you very much again for having me here tonight. With that, I'll go ahead and sign off and say adieu.
Thanks, Rick. It's been a fun show, and we'll see you next week. And thanks for everyone for listening.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
Y'all have a good evening.
Yes,
thank
too.
You. Y'all have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Cheers.
Cheers.